honest, what you see is what you get. He's down to earth, and he's real. Because, you know, the world's had enough of flaky bakey, and that's the fact. They've had enough of that. I'm turned off. I don't want flaky bakey. I want reality, and the youth are looking for reality. They want to know the real deal, and I just want to affirm to John is the real deal. Him and Alexander are the real deal, and what you see is what you get. And I just want to encourage you to come alongside, and I just believe that though you say, look, you're not a small group, and I look at you, but I mean, you might say, look, there's only a few of us, okay? The Lord is going to use what's here and is going to cause something to be birthed so great that you are going to be amazed. You're going to say, well, wait a minute. Who am I, Lord? Are you kidding? Like, do you know me? He says, I know you and I know your heart. But get ready for what I'm about to expand in this church because it's going to go beyond. Never mind Catch the Fire. I love Catch the Fire. It's my home church. But the thing is, no more to what you see at TCF. This church is going to go beyond in the natural and in the spiritual. And others are going to come alongside you. So I just want to bless that. I know I probably spoke beyond what you wanted. But I'm just seeing this huge eagle that's over this ministry. And God is going to cause this ministry to rise up in levels that are going to blow people's minds. So, anyways, I spoke too much, but that's what happens when I start talking, you know, verbal.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. So, are we excited?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the reason we want to say this to you, because we believe, Alexandra and I, we believe that you are partnering with us, that whenever vision about Daniel has a dream and he see me, it's mean you as well. You understand that? It's mean you as well. So you're part of that ministry. You're part of that church. It represents you as well, right? Okay. There's a couple of things that she said. She have no clue as well, because this is some of the things the Lord was speaking to me. I was saying to the Lord, it's part of my message, actually, what she touched on. I said, God, you gave me a promise about 1,000 people. And where is this 1,000 people? Can I tell you what he told me? He said, when you look at every single person in this church, for example, I look at Capucine right now and said, I want you to see there's 20 people because she is going to touch 20 people. And so every single person has a number of people that I put into their spirit, into their life, but we're going to reach out, we're going to touch. And even if you don't see it, I want you to see it. You know how Hebrews 11 say, by faith Abraham offered, even he didn't see and Enoch and all this, you know, how Noah built the ark even there was no rain. So this is the kind of thing he's been telling me, by faith, believe. So I want to tell you this. When I look at you this morning, the Lord's been speaking to me and said, look, we are here. We are here, even if you don't see it, but we are here. But this is very interesting what she touched on about David. Right, Teresa? You ready for this? I mean, this is literally my word, what I was telling Alexandra. I said, the Lord spoke to me the other day. This was like 2 weeks ago. He said, when God sent the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse, and he said, Father, Jesse said, that one of your children, God has going to call them to become king. Now, I try to be careful not to. I don't want to stir any jealousy and all this kind of thing. This is not good to stir in jealousy. This is basically what God spoke to me. So, and guess what? And the father brings all his son. They parried in front of him. And the prophet said no. And God spoke to the prophet. Say, guess what he said? Said, don't look at the outward appearance. Man, look at the outside. But God, look at the heart. And he's warned the prophet, be careful who you pick, who you choose. And the Lord spoke to me this word. He said, it doesn't matter, John, who parried before, who go before you. What I've called you to do is going to happen. What my call in your life, you don't have to freak out. How many of you kind of, when you go to a job, there's a promotion, you heard other people apply for that job, and you know that's you? You know this is the one? Right? You don't freak out. So what do we do? Instead of our mind go, okay, God. Some of you think, oh, this is the person that you promised to give me in this life, and other people is coming before me. And don't freak out. Relax. You know, it's there for you. What it doesn't matter how many, 10, 15, 100 go before you. If God has his hand on you, do you do the right thing? The key is, we talk about in Christmas, like, you know what, the shepherd watch over the flock by night. This is a word that God's giving to us, to be careful how we watch over the flock, not just during the day, but the enemy come at night. You remember the scripture say at night? So watch over the flock, especially what happened at night. What night represents your life is sometimes, and that's when we see the stars, when we start watching over you guys. So that's why we've been led by the Spirit to do this kind of thing. So, okay, I want to go in a couple of things here. There's so much to give you guys. I don't know even how we're going to do this, but God pray the Holy Spirit will be able to do that. Going back to 2 weeks, this is everything that's been happening the last 2 weeks, and there's so much. Every day God's speaking so loud, so loud, so loud, just because spending time in worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Right? Now, I know some of you get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's good. But sometimes, like, it's during the day. You're walking on the street. You go in the marketplace. You're driving. You're sitting. You just worshiping during the day as well. How many remember 2 weeks ago Juanita was the speaker? You remember Juanita? Right. Okay. Pastor's conference. Quick. And Alexander was, and I was walking in the church. The pastor's conference going on. It was the first day, and Alexandra has to go and see Daphne, the kids ministry pastor, and I was behind her, right? And Juanita turned around and she saw me and she said, John, and she walked and grabbed my hand and she said, come here, stand in the line, get some prayer. It was the exact moment the Stevie, whatever his name, Mark Stevie, He just finished praying, and he's coming down the platform and start praying for people. I have no clue what his message is all about. Guys, I have no clue what his message is all about. And I thought, why am I going to stand there receiving prayer for? I don't want to receive prayer if I don't know what is the call for. You understand what I'm saying? If the call is to say, whoever wants to get married, stand in the prayer line. It's not me, guys. You know, I don't want to be there, right? So I have to know, what is he told, what was, and she said, trust me, John, I know you need to be here. And I was looking at Alexandra, keep walking, look at me, like she keep going, and like, I say, oh my goodness. Okay, so immediately I feel the Lord say, stay. So I turn around and say, okay, Juanita, I trust you, but what is the call for prayer? He said, John, is to raise up leaders. Immediately as you say that, my spirit just confirmed again, a second time, like, yes, you need to be here. I say, yes, okay. Now, she come and Mark's praying. To be honest with you, I didn't get anything. 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time he got to like 5, 6 people down the line, suddenly I feel the presence of God. I was about to just to go and find my wife. But I keep staying. I said, God, you want me to stay? So I just being patient here. And next thing I know, I feel the presence of God just came, woo, and I just went boom, on the floor. Now, how many have done something crazy? Like God asked you to do something, but you've been challenged. I don't want to do that. And this is what happened. This is one of these moments God asked me to do something, and I felt like, I'm not doing that. No, no, God, please, no. And I'll tell you what. How many have you watched the movie War Horse? No? All right. I will strongly recommend you to watch this movie. This is a very, very, very prophetic, good movie right now. There's no bad thing, but it's a good movie. We watch it with the family, all this kind of thing. I encourage. But I'm not going to tell the whole story. But in the story, there's this young man who believes in this horse, that he can do anything. And he trained this horse and trained him, and nobody believed in him. All the village don't even think that this horse can do it. And he trained, he has a way how he called the horse. and the horse can identify his sound, and the horse will come. So he let the horse run wild. And then he put his hand like this and started to blow on this, and then he make this sound, and the horse will come anytime. Now, this movie is happening in World War I. Anyway, and the Lord spoke to me, I was there having a blast, and I heard him say, I want you to call the horse. I thought, what? Call the horse. And I know this is a moment, prophetic thing. And I've been listening, and John Arnott has been saying this. Every time when there's something that happens, you don't understand in the natural why people are doing this, but it's a prophetic thing. And I immediately realized this is a prophetic thing that God wants me to do right now. And I've not even practiced this. I don't even know how to do it. And I heard the Lord say, so I put my hand like this, I go, I feel God say, John, you can do better than that. And this is sometimes what I do with Daniel. I say, Daniel, you can do it. He was supposed to sing today, but he chickened out. Anyway, we'll talk about him later. Yeah. So, and I thought to myself, okay, and I'm thinking about, okay, there's Juanita here, there's these people. And I said, okay, I'm going to, wait, God, let me explain to her what I'm going to do first. And God spoke to me, said, no explanation necessary, just do it. How many can understand what I'm talking about? Have you been in this place? Right? Yes? Okay. So I'm not the only one, right? I'm not the only crazy local guy here, okay? So I went a little bit, woo, and I heard the Lord said, fire it up. And I opened my eyes, I looked in the corner, and I saw this couple, look like a British couple, standing there, and they're looking at all people on the floor, and somehow their eyes is on me. I thought, uh-oh, you know? Why are they looking at me like this? Anyway, I heard the Lord say, there's this windows of opportunity right now. Either you hit it or you're going to miss it. I said, I don't want to miss it. And God said, do it. You know, I felt like Abraham lifting up the sword and about to sacrifice. And I thought, okay, God, take it. Sacrifice this. And I went, woo, you know, like blowing and all this kind of thing. And I went on, woo. Next thing I know, somebody elbow me, like on this side. And I know it's Juanita. She said, John, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I know. No. You don't know. No, I know. I know what I'm doing. Oh. But how do you know after you do that, you just feel there's a relief. Something just break through. And I told Juanita, I said, Juanita, I'll tell you what. Have you seen the movie and all this kind of thing? And I said, okay, you haven't seen, but this is what God called me to call the war horse. The moment I say that, she started, whoa! She's, and I don't know what it means. She said to me, John, a couple of days ago, the Lord gave me a message about war horse. I have no clue about the movie. I didn't even heard about it. And God spoke to her about war horse. So that happened the afternoon. Nighttime, Laura Osman, who's pastor of the Hamilton campus, she starts singing the worship, and Alex and I were together. And when she started, in the last song, she started singing about Jesus, anointed one. She started singing, Jesus. As she's singing that song, suddenly I heard a different sound coming. I thought, where's this sound coming from? Where's this sound coming from? No, I mean, I'm looking at the band. I'm sitting on the front row, and I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I keep my eyes closed, and I heard a different song, a different voice, a different words. And I don't know where it come from. And then at the end, I said to Alexandra, she was on the floor, she was kneeling down. I said, Alex, what do you experience during the worship? She said, I experience a strong intimacy. And I look at her and said, let me tell you what I experienced. I tell her, this is what I heard. I heard this word said, it's so loud. It's louder than the worship team. It said there's greater things yet to come. And greater things yet to be done. And then the Lord said to me, call, declare it. And I was there, and Faustin, who is Mississauga pastor, was standing next to me. I put my hand, during the worship, I was singing, there's greater things to come, there's greater things yet to be done. And the Lord said, where? I said, Ajax! You know, we'd be, you know, like Toronto, and I'd start to declare. I said, where? I said, Toronto, Ajax! You know, I started, greater things, and these people have, oh, geez, I'm singing, greater things yet to be done, greater things, you know. This is this kind of crazy things, you know, God's messing with my mind right now. And I thought, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Okay, so Don, sit down. Joe was sitting behind me. So I wanted to turn around and tell them, did I tell you? I don't know if I tell you, but I wanted to tell people what I've been hearing. I want to tell everybody. I wanted to go on the platform, prep the mic. Give me the mic. Let me tell people. What, you know, I was like this, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I feel like I just need to sit down. But, and I want to go and tell whoever's emceeing, this is what I heard, this is what's happening. Anyway, they make an announcement, and then they ask one gal, Lillian Brown, to come and give a testimony. And Lillian came and shared a testimony. She said, why they were praying for people. She was standing next to Carol, and Carol went on the floor, she went on the carpet, and Carol asked, Do you receive some oil? Because they have oil from Smith Wigglesworth that were praying and anointing people. And Lena said, no, I didn't. So Carol put her hand on her forehead, said, I have some, have. So rub it on her head. Next thing, Lena went, whoa, like bang. And next thing you know, when she stood, she managed to stand up and try to walk and go, and she was actually the event coordinator. So as she stood up, suddenly she saw this angel standing in the building. And the angel is right there with the statement to walk in God's love and give it away. So she said, Carol, I saw these angels right now. And Carol said, where? He said, there. So Carol said, let's go. So both braced there, you know, walking, going there, and they said, right, where is it? Right here. So they went down and said, okay. Carol said, Lillian, ask the angels, what's your name? And Leon said, what's your name? And the angel replied, say, Protector. And he said, his name is Protector. And Carol said, okay, that's good, that's good. Ask him, what are you here for? So Leon said, Protector, angel, what are you here for? And this is what the angels respond. Now, I want you to understand, I just had this word in the worship. I have no idea what she's going to say next. Are you ready for this? And the angels replied to her, said, I'm protecting the things that is about to come. I offered to myself, what? This is what I've been hearing, and she's now on the platform telling this testimony about the things about to come, and I've been really monitoring all the dreams and the people that have been telling me about breaking down these doors and all this kind of thing. And I thought to myself, and there's greater things yet to be done. And somehow in my mind, my spirit, I said, God, if there's greater things yet to be done, I know and I know and I know. And you and I, we know that God will do it for you and I. He always used people. He always sent someone. And it's almost like the Lord said, believe that what happened in the past, there's greater things. And I thought, God, do you mean like greater than those and those and those and those and those people? God said, greater, greater, greater. And I said, is that me? You know what I'm saying? Like, little old me, can I believe you right now? You know, I mean, you know, from little town of Ajax, we're not even the city. We only have two exits on 401, you know? Is that, yeah, you know, you felt like so small when God speak like greater. You say, I feel so small right now. Are you talking about this? Are you sure, God, this is where we're from? You know, God say, greater, greater. And then they said, Lillian, I want you to pray. And God's been speaking to me at the same time. I said, do you believe it? I said, I want to believe. And God said, then stand up, put your hand up. So I don't know what other people's doing. So I felt challenged. I stood up, Joe was sitting behind me. I put my hands up and I said, God, I believe it. God said louder. I said, God, you called me to call the war horse. Now in front of the whole crowd, you tell me to. I said, do you believe it? I said, I believe it. I said, louder, believe it. Next thing I know, Lillian was, she said, believe it! Yeah. That thing just rippled inside my heart, my spirit. I started to feel that God like ripping every ungodly thing. And that was it. Now, the message came later was powerful too. I won't get into this. And to me, if that was the night, that's it. I'm done. You know what? It's like, how more you want to ask, you know, when God speaks so loud. And I went to Lena and I went to them and said, guess what, guys? This is what God's been saying. Now, just to give you a couple of things. I don't know if you, this maybe sound a little bit weird. I don't even study this kind of thing, but God's been giving me a couple of things. One day I was on my computer checking a couple of things, and suddenly I saw these things pop up in my computer. It gave me the number 1111. I don't know about this. How many into, I don't think about much about it, so I don't know where it come from. So went down, and next thing is, my cell phone is next to my bed on a iPod speakers and everything. Next thing you know, my phone start to burst. Like, this is like 5 minutes later. It burst. Normally when it bursts means somebody texts me a message or something. So I grab my phone, pick it up. There's no text, there's no phone, there's no message, there's nothing. When I open it, guess what it say? 1111. I thought, whoa, what is happening right now? Are you connected or playing? So anyway, I don't pay too much attention about this. Then the next day, warming up something in the microwave, and I pressed the button. As soon as I pressed the button, I saw 1111. Now, I don't know what it means, to be honest with you, so I started to do some study, and some people talk about this as angelic realm started to give you a sign that we are here with you, but all this kind of thing. So anyway, but this is what I found out. Biblically speaking, the number 11, it represents inheritance. It's a promise in, you know, the 12 tribe of Israel, right? One tribe, the Levite, they don't have inheritance. The inheritance is the Lord. So what happened? That means 11, the inheritance is what? The land of Israel. So number 11, it represents the promised land, the land of Israel. So everything that you guys have been talking about, there's a promise, there's breakthrough coming, everything just coming to perspective right now. I thought, whoa. Oh, God, help. You know, and I'm buzzing. So if you have your Bible, I need to check with the time. We have time. We can make it. Thank you, Lord. Turn to me to 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you can. 1 Samuel, we're going to talk. This is what the Lord has been speaking. I want you to listen to this. Not one time. This is something that God's been speaking very clearly, very clear. I'm going to talk about covenant. And it's going to change. It's going to revolutionize the way you look at it. How many have seen the map of Israel? Right. If you look at the map of Israel, right, and if you try to put your hand on the top part of Israel, the top of the kingdom in the king, right, if you look at the top of Israel, it looks like it's like a spear, like a dagger. Have you seen that? It goes pointed. It's almost a symbol of Abraham sacrificed Isaac, right? So Israel is like the middle of the world, all right? So it's almost like God is using that nation to make sacrifice, right? So now, I'm going to talk about two things about covenant. I'm going to talk about covenant sacrifice and covenant mercy, and you're going to see so much today is going to change your life. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 2. How many know the story of Jonathan and David? David and Jonathan, right? Now, they are not weird guys. They are not, you know what I'm talking about? They are not this married couple, no. They are not this kind of thing. Don't think about this, no. They are healthy people, love the Lord, right? And here say that Jonathan make a covenant with David, verse 3. And because he loved him as himself, right? So this is a thing that we are I believe the breakthrough that God wants us to go into is to be able to make covenant with each other, to love God with all our hearts, all our strength, all our soul, and to love one another. Now, we're not changing anything. This is the same. What is the first commandment? It's to love one. So this is something for you and I to make it happen, right? What it is, make a covenant. Jonathan made covenant with David that he, because he loved him as himself. You and I, we need to understand that covenant can come because of different reasons. Covenant come because of money. Covenant come because of love. Covenant come because of responsibility and duties. But here, because love is the main thing, right? Abraham's covenant is because of obedience. But right now, this Jonathan and David is because of covenant of love. So this is what I felt. God wants us to make a covenant of love with one another as we enter into this new phase in our life, right? Now, there's two covenants remain, David and Jonathan. In Samuel chapter 20, right, the first one was covenant of love. The second one is chapter 20, verse 16. It says this. I need someone at the PowerPoint, please. Okay. In verse 16, it says, so Jonathan make a covenant with the house of David, right? And saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. You got it? Close this. Minimize it. Okay. Go down. Go down. Okay. Not yet. I'll show you this one. Okay. Now, the second covenant. In chapter 20, this is what he say. But now the covenant is not just between Jonathan and David. The covenant now is with both house, the house of David and the house of Jonathan. And not only, and then he says this, that everything, anyone who's your enemy, we're going to have to give an account. So I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be with you. Your enemy is going to be my enemy. Your friend's going to be my friend. Right? How many know that? That's a covenant, you know? And covenant is very, very powerful when we enter into covenant. I remember when I was in Africa, when we talk about covenant, these people's eyes opened, especially when they saw the power of the cross. Because that's what they've been doing all their life, their generation past, they're doing covenant. I give you the grain of the field and you give me a chicken and we survive. You give me water and I'll give you something else. Right? That's what they do. They understand sacrifice. They understand covenant. Now, this is the second covenant. It's like your children is also, I'm going to be their protector. I'm going to look after them. I'm going to care for them as well as you're going to care for me and my home and my family. That's what they do here. Some of you, I know, you have very good friend, right? And you've been really love one another. But God's wanted to go deeper, right? In chapter 19, it says this, verse 1, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the tendon to kill David, but Jonathan was very fond of David. Jonathan, he really cared for David. So he want, that is a thing that now, Jonathan is the firstborn of King Saul. In other words, he is the one who's going to have the inheritance of the kingdom down the road. Right? You understand that? And because of his covenant with David, and he understands that David is the one that God has called and chosen to be the next king. Right? He's willing to make this sacrifice because of that covenant. He let David to take his place. And today we've been singing, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Some of us, You might be in a position to say, this is my right. This is me. I'm the one who's going to be this. But sometimes God say, according to the covenant you made, there's a greater covenant, greater things to come. And you understand this covenant, you're going to do very well, better. So I want you to understand, like, sometimes we fight for every injustice, but sometimes some of the things we need to say, we need to let go. We need to accept. We need to say, God, you know what? North has the campus. Scarborough has the building, all this kind of thing. You know, what about us? No. We make a covenant. God has something. We don't have to freak out sometime, you know? The end of the day, it's all about him. It's not about a building. It's about Jesus, right? So, right. I'm glad I told that. Jonathan, in verse, now, in 2 Samuel chapter 4, let's speed up a little bit here. Jonathan has a son, right? And now David is king. Who knows the name of the son? Mephibosheth, right? Did I speak that well? Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth is a crippled man. He was also the only child of Jonathan. Now, what happened is he's been discarded. He's been put away. Out. He lost everything. If Jonathan was a father, he would be living in the kingdom, in the palace, in the you know. But his father is not the king. David now is a king. And in that chapter, it says that David went to see Mephibosheth, and he said to him, he said, "I want you. Because of the covenant that your father make with me, I am now going to extend that covenant to you." You remember I mentioned there's two covenants, covenant of love. The other one is covenant of your house, my house. And that extend to the children, right? And verse 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, says this. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. But she hurried to leave. He fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. Verse 6. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay honor. David said to Mephibosheth, "Your servant," he replied. And said, "Don't be afraid," David said to him, verse 7, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you," guess what he say? "I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather." Wow. When I hit that part, something in me, you know, like you string the right chord. When God was talking about inheritance 11 and the breakthrough and all this kind of thing, you guys, some of you have heard some of my story. I lost inheritance big time. And when God's talking about breakthrough, he says this, that your inheritance is going to come back. I'm going to restore your inheritance. Some of you have lost inheritance. You have? Get ready. Get ready. And we need to understand this covenant. Right? "I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. You will always have a place with me in the kingdom. You will sit with me next to the king. This is where you're going to, your seed, you, even your cripple, you." Now, can you imagine this man who has nothing going in his life? He's crippled in his both feet, and the nurse dropped him, and he was more crippled again. Now, he's sitting in the king table. And God, and David said, "I'm going to restore everything." It's a covenant. Now, this is a covenant of love, it's a covenant of sacrifice, right? Now, maybe next one PowerPoint. The one below. Okay. The next one down. Okay. I want you to hear about these two words, covenant sacrifice and covenant mercy. Jonathan, when he allowed David to become the next king, he made a covenant with David, right? What covenant is this? Sacrifice. He sacrificed his position. He sacrificed what is his inheritance. He gave it to David. Now, David, when he received that, right, he could have fight. Even God spoke to him. But David, when he make a covenant with Jonathan, what covenant did he make with Jonathan? Mercy. Now, and this is how it goes. When Jonathan, now down the road, when he met with Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, David, guess what he did? He make a covenant. Now it's his turn. He make a covenant with Mephibosheth. What covenant is this? Sacrifice. He restores. He said, I'm going to give it back to you. He make a sacrifice to give it to him. So Mephibosheth, he now receive a covenant. Covenant go both ways, not only one way. If I make a covenant with Robert, what belong to you? It belong to you. What belong to me? Belong to you. It's both ways. So in return, Mephibosheth, who is a cripple, young man, right? Some scriptures say, why? I am like a dog. That's how he feels. That's how he understands. Like, it means like, I'm the reject of the whole land, of the whole nation. Who am I that you bring me into your kingdom? When David makes this covenant with Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth, that is a covenant of sacrifice. But what kind of covenant did Mephibosheth make with David? Mercy. He received mercy. Mercy for him. He received a covenant of mercy, right? Now, when Abraham make a covenant with God, he want to kill his Isaac, his only one. What covenant is this? Sacrifice, right? And when Isaac receive his life back, when the angel say, don't kill him, I see that you're going to obey. When Isaac receive his life back, what is this? Mercy. Understand that? Joseph, right? You remember all the trouble, all the false accusation in the jail and all this kind of thing, right? And finally, he understand when God bring, he make a lot of sacrifice, right? So God use him. He make a covenant with God. It's a covenant of what? Sacrifice. You remember the brother say, we're going to take you out, and we told the father that you're dead, all this kind of thing. We literally sacrifice him in the eyes of his father. It's gone, dead. Right? So he's make a covenant of sacrifice. But later, when now he is the ruler in Egypt, you remember when the brothers came back home and when he gave them portion of the land, they make a covenant together. So the brother receive what covenant? Mercy. Right? The covenant of sacrifice and the covenant of mercy, they always go hand in hand. Right? Same thing. Moses, Noah, Jonah, all of them make covenant. Jonah, God sent him to Nineveh. He don't want to go. Go in the belly of the fish, spit out and all, sacrifice this. And when he go there, the people respond, covenant, sacrifice, covenant, mercy, God restore. Don't touch them. All right? Jesus, what covenant did he make? Sacrifice. Who received the covenant in return? You, the church. What covenant we have? Mercy. What did the Bible say? That we are seated in Christ, Jesus, in heavenly places. Where? In mercy seat. Next to the king. But also, God also sometimes asks us to make a covenant of sacrifice to one another. And our sacrifice to make to each other is the covenant of love. I'm going to love you like God loved me. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And I'm going to love my neighbors as myself. Are we getting this? It's going to cost you. But in return, let me tell you this. One day, your children's children is going to reap the covenant of mercy in their life. If we don't do it, they will not reap it. If Jonathan did not make this covenant, even God has spoken, David's going to be the king. If Jonathan fight, argue and everything, but he choose to make this covenant, down the road, his son, who's nobody care for him at all, he receive that covenant back. Right? Ephesians 2, and God raised us up with Christ and seat us with him in heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. I remember when we started Catsify Ajax, right from the beginning, God spoke to me something very quick, very deep, very strong. He said, I want you to remember Titanic. How you know the story of Titanic? Big ship, and everything is grandiose and luxuries and everything. But they went too fast. They break everything they wanted to do. And God said, I want you to remember that Titanic. Don't go too fast. Make sure you go in the right way. Remember the ship right now in the coastline of Italy right now? It's wrong move, right? Now, okay, thank you, Lord. Let me tell you another story here that will add to what we do here. Can we have the next verse? Okay, next one. This is the word that I give. See, greater things yet to come, greater things yet to be done in this city, in your life, in this nation, the world. And, okay, see that word, turn to have only taste of wine? Okay, I want to touch on that. In the beginning, this is how the Bible starts, in the beginning, right? God created the world, right? And then the last word of the Bible is what? Amen. So in the beginning, the first word is in. The last word is amen. You know what's the middle word of the Bible? The middle word of the whole entire Bible is the word Lord. The Lord. It's Psalm 118, verse 9. It said, do not put your trust in man, but put your trust in the Lord. That word, the Lord, is the middle word of the Bible. So you take the first word, in, middle word, the Lord, the last word, amen. In the Lord, amen. But when you look in the Hebrew, the way in the Hebrew and the Greek, the very first word and the very last word, you combine them together, right? This is what it come out. It said, Son of God. It's a combination of beginning and the end, Son of God. Interestingly, when Abraham have his experience with God, the sacrifice, nothing was written until 900 years later. There was no manuscript. Nobody documented anything. There was no scroll. Nothing was done. 900 years later, then they start to write about Abraham. So what's been going on? Which means that the generation and generation and generation has been telling the children, 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 and that's a covenant we're talking about. It never ends. 900 years later, what are you talking about? This is a covenant that Abraham made. 900 years. It's amazing. Moses, his experience with Pharaohs and walking into the promised land. 300 years, nothing is written about this story. 300 years. Do you know that the archaeologists, they could not find anything in the desert. They find a lot of artifacts in Egypt. They find a lot in the promised land. But in the desert place, they cannot find one thing. So they are questioning about the story about 40 years in the desert. There's nothing we can find to prove that they spent 40 years. And guess what? The Bible literally This is what we do. God said, eat everything, do not leave anything. Every day I'm going to provide for you, not leave anything behind. They literally destroy everything for 40 years. But for 300 years or 15 generations, there's nothing written. And then one day somebody decided to write down. Why? This is what we're doing. We're passing that riches, that wisdom, that knowledge to their children, 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 children. Now, this is a question here. You who have children, do you believe that one day they will tell the children about God? Do you believe that the children, children will also hear about what God is doing in your life? You have a history. You have a story and a history, yes. We are history maker. But we cannot be a history maker without first have a story. Right? So if your children is going to tell their children about what God has done in my mom's, my dad's life, so the question is, how much do you know what God has done in your previous generation, two or three generations before you? How many of you know? Do you know? Yes? So, what if Jesus, big question, but what if Jesus, when he turned the water into wine, and then he said, that's it, my ministry is done now, and I can go back to, to the wedding feast down the road in Revelation in heaven, one day we're going to do that wedding again. I'm done. That's all it takes. Just turn the water into wine. What if nothing else happened? What if he stopped there? What kind of history maker he's going to make? Nothing. Not much. What are we going to talk about today? Somebody turned water into wine. That's it. Do you think it will last that long? No, because there's so much, so deep, so strong, so powerful that it lasts longer. Somehow when I meditate on this, the Lord spoke and said, we have only tasted the water turned into wine with that experience we had right now. But there's much more. There's much more history to write. There's much more story to be told. And that's why I feel the words say, there's greater things yet to come. There's greater things yet to be done. Right? So don't stop there. If you stop when the water turned into wine, let's, drink and be merry, and that's it, we go to heaven. That's it, there's nothing else in my life. I'm saved, I'm glory, hallelujah. My name is written in the book of life. That's it. No, there's a lot more. Right? Can I have the next one? All right, next one. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. This is interesting. Some of you understand that. This is the Old Testament. And next picture, let me see this. Okay. There's a lot of things in the Ark of the Covenant. One of the things I want to talk to you is in the middle part, I don't know if you can see the showbread, the bread, the manna that we kept from the 40 years. We put it in the Ark of the Covenant. We move that. That was the only thing that we bring into Jerusalem is the Ark and the manna, right? Okay, next picture. See how they carry this. This is the Old Testament covenant. And they put the Levite, the priest, to sing, to dance before the Ark of the Covenant. Right. What is in that Ark of the Covenant? The manna, the bread. Are you ready for this? Now I'm going to show you the next one. This is today. Today, in Israel, this is the official logo for tourism, as well as Israel. You see this little logo on the side? Guess what we carry? The wine. The old, the bread. The new, the wine. What's the wine represent? The promise. Jesus, my body, break it. Right? New one, the wine, the promise. When we take this covenant, we're going to have communion today. I want you to remember that, yes, there's a covenant of sacrifice, but there's a covenant of mercy to go into the promised land, to get our inheritance, to be restored. Is that amazing? How do we choose this? You have another one? Right, communion. So when we have communion today, this is what we're going to do. God, we're making a covenant. You make a covenant with us. You sacrifice it. Our covenant to you back is covenant of mercy. But also, you want us now to be able to turn around and say, I'm going to pass that covenant to somebody else. I'm going to also make a covenant of sacrifice somebody else, and they're also going to make covenant of mercy. Some of you, you need to, you may be right, but God wants you to sacrifice your right. You may be true. God wants to say, Jonathan can be right. I'm the next ears. I'm the one who's going to be the next king. He can fight it. But sometimes God said, I want you to sacrifice you because this is what my will is. That make sense? Understand that covenant is, you're going to reap this. Okay. Can I have the ushers get the communion ready? Why are we doing this? You want one more while we're getting ready, okay? Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18. After David, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. You heard that? You see that? Is it possible that two people can become one? That's what he say. They become one in spirit. And he loved him as himself. Verse 2. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. Right? King Saul. Now, are you ready for the next verse? Right. Pay attention to this. In verse 3. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Verse 4. Jonathan took off the robe. He took off what? The robe, you got it? He was wearing, and he gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Let me read this again. Jonathan took off his robe. I want you to remember this. Number one is what? Robe. He gave it to David, along his tunic. Number two, it also represents his crown, his garment of the king. His tunic and his sword, his bow and his belt. When I meditate on this, you know what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me? That Jesus make a covenant with us, and everything that Jonathan gave to David, he gave to us. He gave us his garment. He gave us his king, his crown. He gave us his sword. He gave us his bow, and he gave us his belt, the belt righteousness, belt of truth. You got that? Everything that Jonathan gave to David in that chapter, Jesus did it to us. How many want that? He did it. All we have to do right now is to just to take it. It's a covenant of mercy. We don't deserve it. We don't have any rights to it. But he gave us his sword. He gave us his belt. Jesus did it. So we're going to have communion today. Right? Thank you. Okay. How many received so much today? How many think it's we're going somewhere? Thank you. To be honest with you, I just want to give you a couple of minutes. And worship team, if you guys can take your communion, we're going to do one song. But you guys, I want you just to take a moment. I want to let all this word that I spoke today, just let it settle inside your spirit, your soul, your mind and heart. And the same word I'm going to shout to you, do you believe it? But God exchanged that. Thank you, Lord.